Good evening, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today with your presenter for this week, John Byrne. Coming up on tonight's programme, we have a rundown on some of the stories of European interest that have made the headlines here in Ireland. We'll be hearing from some of our MEPs about what's happening in Brussels and Strasbourg. And we'll also have some great music from Greece and Germany for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour on your programme, Europe Today. One and 2 cent coins could soon be a thing of the past. The European Commission is assessing whether the need for the tiny coins could be reduced by requiring all cash payments in the Eurozone to be rounded, as they already are in Ireland and other countries such as Sweden, Finland, Denmark and Hungary. A 15-week consultation is currently underway with consumers and national governments, and Grace Bolton, head of press with the European Commission Office in Ireland, says phasing out the coins altogether may also be an option.
The European Commission is conscious that the cost of producing 1 and 2 cent coins is almost twice as high as their value. They're also very fiddly for the consumer to use. By late 2021, the Commission will complete an assessment to decide two things. First, whether all cash payments in the Eurozone should be rounded, and second, whether 1 and 2 cent coins should officially be discontinued.
Babies born today in Ireland can expect to live 2 extra years on average than those born 10 years ago. New figures from Eurostat show that the average life expectancy of a child born in Ireland in 2018 is now 82.3 years. The current EU average for life expectancy is 81 years. Grace Bolton of the European Commission Office in Dublin says the latest figures also show that Irish women live longer than men.
This Eurostat survey revealed that women in Ireland live 3.6 years longer than men. Irish people who turned 65 in 2018 can expect to live for another 20 years on average, and the highest life expectancy in the EU was recorded in Spain, where Madrid women can live to an average of 88 years.
The European Consumer Centre says most people who booked package holidays this year but were unable to travel are entitled to refunds. It says full refunds apply to all in packages. However, people who booked elements of their holiday independently may have fewer rights depending on the circumstances. Dr. Cyril Sullivan of the European Consumer Centre Ireland says consumers have numerous protections in this area under EU law.
In terms of a refund, the consumer can cancel in advance and receive full refund subject to a termination fee if they decide to cancel. If any part of the package can't be delivered, they can cancel and seek full refund of the monies. So there's greater protection for people if they book a package holiday as opposed to individual holiday items.
The European Commission is calling on Ireland and the other member states to speed up investment in broadband infrastructure and mobile phone networks. It says the rollout of high-speed broadband and 5G or fifth-generation networks cannot come quickly enough. Commission President Ursula von der Leyen is on record as saying she wants rural areas in Europe to have full connectivity as soon as possible to make the continent the most advanced in the digital world. Grace Bolton of the EU office in Dublin says total connectivity across Europe would bring massive economic benefits.
Greater connectivity will help create jobs and modernise the economy while boosting sustainable growth and resilience.
The European Commission is to tighten up its customs arrangements to help improve trade. Under a new action plan, EU member states will enforce greater compliance on the importation of goods from countries outside the European Union. Tighter controls will also be applied in the e-commerce area to address tax evasion and fraud. Gerry Keighley, head of the EU representation in Ireland, says the measures are aimed at preventing revenue losses, which run into billions of euro.
The objective of this is to tighten up controls, but also to facilitate trade for legitimate traders, and that there's better cooperation between customs authorities throughout the EU and better exchange of data so that authorities can clamp down on fraudsters and at the same time allow legitimate trade to grow and flourish.
The European Commission has announced a bold plan to put an end to anti-gypsyism discrimination against the Roma people. Previous programmes have been well-meaning but have achieved little. Too many Roma children are not educated or are in segregated education, while Roma families lack adequate food and opportunities. At a press conference, Press Commission Vice President Vera Jourova launched a new 10-year plan to support Roma living in the EU.
I want to be blunt. Over the last 10 years, we have not done enough to support the Roma population in the European Union. The Roma are Europe's largest ethnic minority, and in many member states they constitute a significant part of the population. But many continue to face discrimination and racism. The lack of inclusion of Roma communities in our societies is a scar on Europeans' conscience. The figures are really telling a sad story. 85% of Roma children are at risk of poverty, compared to 20% of children in general population. 62% of Roma youth are not in education, employment or training, compared to 10% of youth in the general population. Poor sanitary aid and a lack of access to drinking water is still a common occurrence in many Roma villages. When I visited them last year, some of the villages still didn't have running water. And the pandemic brought a clear risk in making the current situation even worse. This is why today we are relaunching our efforts to correct the situation with clear targets and a renewed commitment to achieve real change over the next 10 years. Putting together this new 10-year plan has been very important for us to evaluate our efforts over the last decade. First, we learned that having an EU framework has put Roma inclusion on national political agendas. Then, any solution needs to be found with the involvement of Roma communities, both on national and local level. I know this is possible, because when I worked for the local council in my town of Třebíč, one of my tasks was to work with the Roma citizens in my town. We worked together and found amicable solutions for many, many problems. And I trust this new EU plan will help to focus minds. It will also help us to monitor the progress better.
Πώς θες να αρχίσω, τι να προσπαθήσω για μένα να πω. Κύμα τα χίλια σε ένα εαυτό. Μέσα στη δίνη ψάχνω γαλήνη κι αγάπη να βρω. Κράτα με εσύ ασφαλή σε ένα κόσμο σκληρό. Με ένα δικό σου φιλί κάθε φόβο βαθιά μου να αλλάζα. Να μην έχω ψυχή σαν άγρια θάλασσα.
Ahead of a debate on the rule of law in Bulgaria, protesters and MEPs gathered outside the parliament to call for systematic change and new elections in Bulgaria. Irish MEP Claire Daly compared the current Bulgarian government to vampires feeding off EU money, sucking the lifeblood out of Bulgarian society. She said that the European People's Party in particular had protected Borisov's government for too long and that it was time to face up to the blatant corruption and failure to adhere to the rule of law.
But it is EU money that is feeding these vampires who are sucking the lifeblood out of Bulgarian society, but they're being kept alive and enriched by European money. So that has to stop, you know, it has to be dealt with. It seems that the EPP in particular has protected Borisov's government for long enough in the face of pretty blatant corruption now and non-adherence to the rule of law.
Greece's judiciary has ruled that the neo-Nazi party Chryssi Avgi is a criminal organisation. Its leaders face up to 10 years in prison. The reason for the trial, which lasted 5 years, was the murder of rapper Pavlos Fizas by a supporter of the party. While for some commentators the verdict remains a turning point, others say the threat has not been banished yet. The Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung, which praises Greek democracy, said, "The fact that this party entered the Athens parliament in 2012 and even became the third strongest force there in 2015 was frightening. But Greece's democratic party landscape and after initial hesitation also its judiciary have reacted with resolve. The parties agreed firmly in favour of exclusion. The wheels of the judiciary were set in motion in 2015. The trial against Golden Dawn exposed these self-proclaimed defenders of the fatherland as greedy, quarrelling clowns. And this has gradually dawned on the voters as well. Greece's democracy has passed the test that Golden Dawn put it through." So says the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung. Meeting in Brussels, EU leaders have issued their strongest warning yet to Turkey over its aggression in the East Mediterranean. Turkish vessels have been searching for the gas a short distance from Greek islands and from Cyprus and have claimed the sea as theirs. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen issued a strong warning that the EU would not stand idly by in the face of adventurism by Ankara.
On Turkey, we reaffirm strongly the solidarity with Greece and with Cyprus. And it is very clear that no one can drive a wedge between us. The tensions in the Mediterranean have been very high because of Turkey's drilling activities in Cyprus' exclusive economic zone and exploratory activities in Greek waters. It is good that there is now a reliable dialogue between Turkey and Greece that has begun. However, we deplore that Ankara has not made similar constructive gestures towards Cyprus. We are convinced that differences must be resolved through peaceful dialogue and in accordance with international law. We want a positive and a constructive relationship with Turkey. And this would also be very much in Ankara's interest, but it will only work if the provocations and pressure stop. We therefore expect that Turkey from now on abstains from unilateral actions. In case of such renewed actions by Ankara, the EU will use all its instruments and options available. We have a toolbox that we can apply immediately. But this is not what we want. We want and would prefer to work on a new long-term EU-Turkey relationship, a positive agenda that would include the modernization of our customs union, which will increase trade, and a stronger cooperation on migration on the basis of the 2016 EU-Turkey statement. We think that in face of the devastating impact of COVID, it is our strong belief that we would be well advised to cooperate and build a strong relationship.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
Sinn Féin MEP Chris McManus says scrapping the Mercosur trade deal would be good for the environment and good for Ireland. The controversial pact allows for an additional 99,000 tonnes of South American beef to be imported into the EU levy-free. Concerns have been raised in Ireland about the impact it would have on the Irish beef industry. However, opposition to the deal has been growing due to deforestation in the Amazon. Chris McManus says MEPs in the European Parliament took a tougher stance this week.
The amendment effectively stated that because of the activities of the Brazilian government, particularly President Bolsonaro, regarding the effect of burning down of the Amazon rainforest, that the amendment was looking not to ratify the deal. And it was very close vote, but the amendment was passed. And what this really means now is that the deal, Mercosur deal, is now on ice. That would have had a massive impact on beef farmers in Ireland, especially in the climate that is Brexit and what is just generally falling consumption levels. So Irish beef, which is probably one, and Irish farmers, which are probably one of the most sustainable groups of farmers worldwide, were going to suffer because of this lower quality beef that was going to be coming in. So what we've seen now is that the deal, as I said, has been effectively kicked to touch.
Midlands Northwest MEP Maria Walsh is calling for a simplified system to allow young people access employment and training opportunities across the EU. The European Parliament is this week debating how to improve measures to deal with youth unemployment. The issue was raised in the context of the post-COVID recovery. Fine Gael's Maria Walsh outlines one idea to make information more readily available to young people.
One of our introductions is a web portal, so that, can you imagine, you're sitting in NUIG or Letterkenny IT or Sligo IT, and you're trying to figure out, hang on, what is next for me once college finishes? So this web portal idea would be that apprenticeships, traineeships and opportunities from across the European Union would be in a one-stop shop, essentially. Our role here as parliamentarians, as governments, as someone from Fine Gael, is to look at what other opportunities that we can give, so that when COVID lifts, and it will, when we come out of level 3 or level 5, whatever it may be, in the coming weeks and months, that younger people are not waiting like we did in 2008 financial crash to figure out where the next opportunity is.
Fine Gael MEP Deirdre Clune says businesses need certainty in the event of the EU not reaching a trade deal with the UK by the end of the year. Recently, the European Commission warned that a no-deal scenario cannot be ruled out. Talks are deadlocked with less than 100 days to go until the end of the Brexit transition period. Deirdre Clune says there is increasing concern over the transport of goods from Ireland to mainland Europe via the UK land bridge.
There are many businesses depend on that land bridge for access to deliver their goods to continental Europe and to destinations there. And they need to be given assurances now that there won't be a cliff edge. We won't fall off a cliff at the end of the year, but they can operate until such time as alternative measures are put in place.
The European Parliament has heard that less than 30% of board members in the largest publicly listed EU companies are women, while just 8% are CEOs. MEPs are now calling for a long-awaited plan on equality in business to get moving. The Women on Boards Directive has been held up since 2012 due to objections from some member states. Fine Gael MEP for Dublin, Frances Fitzgerald, explains what it contains.
It would mean that it would be mandatory, you know, to have a certain number of board members actually who are female. Actually, the best companies are already doing that. And it's a particular initiative from the Commission. The Parliament are very keen to see it. To see it move ahead. And there was a debate this week. We're expecting that the German presidency will unblock it and move it ahead. Well, there seems to have been a delay at council level for a number of years. The German presidency are bringing a new impetus to this. Look, it might seem a bit removed from COVID and the kind of issues we're dealing with at the moment, but actually it's about women's voices and women's participation. And, you know, the voluntary methods haven't really worked when it comes to representation on company boards. And this is an attempt to make sure that, you know, women's voices are heard in the decision-making arenas of business.
The European Parliament has voted to approve Mairead McGuinness as the EU Commissioner for Financial Stability. 583 MEPs voted in favour, 75 against and 37 abstained. She was nominated for the role following the resignation of Phil Hogan and is expected to be formally appointed in the coming days. McGuinness has been a Fine Gael MEP for Midlands North West since 2004 and also served as first Vice President of the Parliament. She's just given her reaction.
It probably is a little bit unreal. It hasn't sunk in yet. But yes, I was very pleased with the support I got from colleagues across the political groups. I've been in this parliament for 16 years, so it's a bittersweet moment because I'm really looking forward to the challenge of joining the College of Commissioners and looking after financial stability and those very key areas. But there will be part of me that too will miss being in the European Parliament. But as I said to colleagues in my hearing, I intend to stay close to Parliament because we cannot make legislation without MEPs. Well, to everyone who supported me and indeed those who didn't support me in Midlands North West, I hope I've served you well in the European Parliament. I hope I've given you the information and support that you needed. But above all else, I hope that I've made the European Union real for people in Ireland. And I think we need to do much more of that so that people feel and are connected to the European Union. Because as John Hume said, it's a peace project above all else. And I hope that if all of us could even think about that, we might perhaps do our policies in a much more humane and perhaps a more friendly way.
Ireland's new plan to deal with COVID has been praised by other countries, according to Fianna Fáil MEP Barry Andrews. The Living with COVID system care came into effect last month and includes five different levels of restrictions. The whole country moved into level 3 recently due to a spike in cases. Barry Andrews admits that Ireland is stricter than other European countries, but says the system is clear.
We probably are a bit more aggressive in our anti-COVID measures, and it is a challenge all the time to explain where we are at a given time. Ireland's levels have been praised by other countries for their clarity. If you listen to the media in Ireland, you would say that there's confusion everywhere, but there is perfect clarity. Everybody's at level 3. Now, the impact this is having on restaurants, on hospitality and tourism is widely acknowledged, but there are in place many, many measures to try to alleviate that.
EU countries who breach EU laws and values should be blocked from receiving funds, according to Ireland South MEP Billy Kelleher. During a debate in the European Parliament recently, MEPs raised concerns about Poland, Hungary and Bulgaria. The row threatens to delay the distribution of the EU's €1.7 trillion COVID recovery package. Fianna Fáil's Billy Kelleher says troublesome countries should face the consequences.
We want to ensure that the rule of law is upheld. We can't have states and governments, more importantly, from some political groupings, trampling on the rights of individuals, of groupings in society based on gender, based on sexual orientation, based on race, based on ethnicity. We cannot allow any of that insidious discrimination to be part and parcel of governments, and then at the same time the European Union funding these governments and they dispersing the money to projects that they deem suitable.
Kopfüber sollte nichts wie es war. Es war ein anderer Sommer. Blätter fallen wie Regen auf den kalten Asphalt. Immer noch immer Ausnahmezeit.
Kopfüber seltsam.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. If you want to get in contact with us, give us a ring on 865 8020. That's 865 8020. You can text us on 087 977 1032. That's 087 977 1032. Don't forget to check out our website support platform, which is europetoday.ie. That'll have a podcast of today's programme and a link to the various items that we spoke about as well. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week on your programme Europe Today.